Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today, we observe Holy Cross Day. The cross, without a doubt, is the most recognized symbol of Christianity. We decorate our churches inside and out with crosses. We even turn crosses into jewelry to decorate ourselves. Yet more often than not, we use a sanitized image of the cross. Now, there is nothing wrong with an empty or decorative cross in and of itself, but I think we gravitate towards using this style of cross because we don't like being confronted with what the cross was for. We take offense at seeing the broken and mangled body of Jesus hanging limp from the cross, and we package our objections as piety, saying things like, well, Jesus is no longer on the cross, so why would we put him there? Yet we don't seem to get hot and bothered when someone places a baby Jesus wrapped in swaddling clothes into a manger. We don't hear anyone object that Jesus is no longer a baby, do we? We understand that this baby reminds us of the most significant event when the Word became flesh to dwell among us. No one would think of displaying an empty manger for Christmas. Without the baby, the manger is meaningless. And the same is true for the cross. To honor the truth of the cross, then, to see the fullness of its power, we must acknowledge the purpose of the cross and what it was that took place there. The cross was created for one reason, and one reason alone: to kill. And not just to kill, but to be the most brutal, agonizing form of capital punishment that humanity has ever known. Take a moment to let that sink in. The most powerful symbol of our faith is the most gruesome instrument of death that has ever existed. Could you imagine having a depiction of gallows or a noose hanging above our altar? Or maybe an electric chair or a syringe hanging from our necks? The thought is a little unsettling, yet the cross is no different. In fact, it's worse. The cross was meant to be violent, a grotesque spectacle warning anyone else who might consider committing a similar crime as the one who hung upon it. So horrific, in fact, that Roman citizens were exempt from suffering such a fate. As you hung, each wrist bore the weight of your body, pulling your arms out of joint and putting a constant strain on each of them. Hanging in that position for so long, your body would begin to collapse in on itself, crushing the lungs and other vital organs. To breathe, you would have to gouge your ankles into the nail that secured your feet to the cross. And as you did, your raw back would rub up against the splintered wood, because the crucifixion began with a flogging. They would use a leather whip tied in knots with sharp rocks and pottery shards, bone or glass or even metal, meant to rip the flesh from your body so that your insides would lay bare. And then you were forced to carry the burden of your own beam to the place of your crucifixion. Once you were secured on the cross, enduring the excruciating agony of the body, the mocking and the derision would only begin. We often picture the cross as something that was high up, lifted into the air, but it was more likely closer to the ground, so that people could walk by and look at you and quite literally spit in your face. And this humiliation, this excruciating death, is what Jesus suffered on the cross. And that is why the cross is worth revering. Jesus calls his crucifixion his hour to be glorified. Glorified by a cross. To the world, this makes no rational sense. We glory in things that are pleasing to us, not in things that cause us to suffer. A glorious meal makes your taste buds melt in your mouth. A glorious day has beautiful weather where you could stay outside all day long. A violent death? That's nothing to glory in. At least not if the death is meaningless. But therein lies the glory of Christ's cross. To a world that glories in its sin, the death of Christ was meaningless. To them, something is not something to be punished, but something to be indulged in and enjoy. They call the cross even divine child abuse, not seeing the wisdom of God within. Yet we who have been made alive by the Spirit, we who are being saved, know the depth of our sin and our inability to atone for it ourselves. And we know the irreparable harm that it causes to others and to us. We grieve over our sin, knowing it leads only to our damnation. Yet we know that Jesus said of his crucifixion, "Now is the judgment of the world. Now will the ruler of the world be cast out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." The cross of Christ is glorious, for in it we are saved. In it we have healing. On the cross, Jesus took the sin of the world into himself and laid waste to it by his own death. The cross of Christ, in all its horror and gore, in all its violence and brutality, is the power of our salvation from sin, from Satan, from death, from eternal damnation. The broken and mangled body of Christ hanging limp from the cross is not something we should be ashamed of or take offense in, but it is the very place to which we are drawn. The cross of Christ is our refuge. And when our sin is crucified with Christ, we are given life in return. Yet our sinful flesh does not want to be crucified. So it constantly pulls us away from the cruelty of the cross. It attempts to deceive us into sanitizing the cross and keeping it at arm's distance so that sin can thrive even within the church. We come to receive God's name placed upon us, but sin convinces us that making the sign of the cross is too Roman Catholic. We come to confess our sins before God, but sin convinces us that it's harmless and we're not really all that bad, so we only confess with our mouths. We come to hear God's word, yet sin convinces us that we don't need to hear his law, or at least we don't need to apply it to ourselves, but maybe to those people in the pew over there. We come to hear the gospel preached, yet sin convinces us that it's not relevant to our lives, that we need to hear sermons that are practical and gives us something to do. We come to confess our faith, but sin convinces us that we only need to do so in a way that makes us feel good about ourselves, that makes us the hero. We come to sing God's praise, but sin convinces us that we only need to enjoy the songs that we sing and be entertained by it. We come to worship, but sin convinces us that we don't need to be reminded of the cost of our salvation. We come to receive communion, but sin convinces us that communion is all about us, and it's about being welcoming and not offensive. We come to give him glory, but ultimately, sin convinces us to glory in ourselves. For when we make church and worship and everything about us, then sin is safe. That's the reason we need to be constantly reminded of the weight and price of our sin, of what Christ has done for us on the cross. We must continually come to the cross that our sinful flesh may continue to be slaughtered. Though Christ only died on the cross once and for all, we sin daily and we sin much. So we need to return to that cross over and over and over again. It is for this reason that even in his resurrection, Christ still bore the scars of his crucifixion, so that we may be reminded in this new life where we are to turn. It is why he appears before the heavenly throne in the book of Revelation as the Lamb who was slain, so that we are reminded that we constantly need to be covered by the blood of Christ. All this he has done for your sake, for your salvation. Christ tells us if we are to serve him, we must hate our own lives in this world and follow him into the very heart of the cross, that our sinful flesh may be put to death. Each time we return and die through the cross of Christ, judgment is rendered. Jesus paid the price that our sin deserves. He died the death that we deserve. And in its place, we are given the forgiveness of sins and eternal life that he has earned for us through his own righteousness. So let us ever keep the cross of Christ before our eyes, glorifying in the broken and mangled body of Jesus that continues to pour out for us the forgiveness of sins, especially now as we prepare ourselves to receive that very body and blood upon our lips. Lift high the cross, for by his wounds you are healed. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.